And you know what's interesting? They were confused among themselves. How can you be confused if you are fully equipped to know the Word of God if you don't go to the Word of God? I mean, it's like the blind man says, you should know where this man comes from. They didn't know where he was coming from. And then the worst part of the story is they accused Jesus of being a sinner. Is that not what we sometimes do? Accuse people of judging people on who they are, or what they're doing, or the way they look, or the way whatever, whatever, whatever. The healed man responds with obedience, honesty, courage, and eventually faith. You know, this guy, Jesus put mud on his eyes. How he got to the pool to wash himself, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But Jesus says, go and wash yourself. Now the people would think it's crazy. Well, maybe just take the mud off. Then at least he's clean again. He went, and when he got out of that, he saw. Then he gets to the crowd, and the crowd says to him, oh, you can see now. He says, yes, who did it? Jesus. Who's this Jesus? I don't know who this Jesus is, because he didn't know who Jesus was. Then he stands in front of the church members, or the church council, or whatever you want to call it, and they say, who do you think it is? He says, well, I think he must be a prophet. So he was getting slowly. And at the end, where was he? Jesus, in his compassion, came and met him again. This time, he saw Jesus. But Jesus asked him, do you know who I am? He says, no. Because he didn't know. He didn't see Jesus. And then Jesus says to him, I am he. I am the Son of God. And what did the man do? He fell on his knees and he worshipped him. Because he instantly recognized, and listen to this, he instantly recognized who Jesus is. And there's something in it for us. Think about it. If Jesus did something for you today, what would be your first reaction? Would you be on your knees? Would you be saying thank you? Would you tell other people about it? Or would you stay stoom and can't believe it yourself? Jesus responded with compassion, truth, and grace. You know, Jesus has never hit anybody with a Bible over the head, which we sometimes do. You know, this verse works, that works, verse works. You need to do that because the Bible says so. Jesus worked totally different in this. His approach was totally different. He saw things differently. Why was it? Because he had love in his heart. He had compassion. There was grace. He waited. When his disciples make the blunder by saying what they said, he didn't scowl at them. He didn't shout at them. He didn't say to them, what, you guys don't know what you're talking about. He just stayed stoom. He explained to them, it's not like that. You know, and then the next verse says something interesting. He says, it's happened because the work of God can be grow, that the work of God will come through. It shows that seeing evidence of God at work does not automatically produce faith. Person's assumptions, fears, pride, and willingness to listen all affect how we respond. And that's true, friends. What God does in our lives doesn't automatically produce faith. A lot of us assume this is what we need. A lot of us accept that God has got to do what I'm asking him to do, instead of allowing God to give me what I need. Because God knows what I need before I ask it. It's scriptural. The Bible says that. What keeps me from saying, I'm a blind man? My own blindness. Friends, I'm the first one to admit I've still got blindness in my life. Because if I have got no blindness, then what am I doing here? Let's go to blindness. Let's talk about the blindness that is there. The blindness, blinded by assumptions. The disciples assumed that's the problem. That's the problem that we have. We assume things without knowing the facts. We assume that we do the way that we need to do it without doing our homework properly. And there's not one here that's not guilty of that, including me. We easily jump to conclusions without knowing what the facts are. Blinded by uncertainty, the neighbors who saw the evidence but did not know what to make of it. Is that not true for us? I'm asking. Sometimes we just go and need to go and do our homework, or stay stum and go and sit back and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Again, I was amazed how God worked this whole story between Yvonne and me. And I didn't see her for the last, only in church last week or the week before. So there was no, it was the Holy Spirit that brought that message to. Blinded by fear, true. We stay away from not needing to say what we have to say. Because what would the people say? Why can't I, you know, am I not right? And I'm guilty of that. I'd rather stay, keep my mouth shut than sometimes say what I have to say. Because it's safer to do not to say anything. Blinded by pride. I don't need to say much about that. The Pharisees who had religious knowledge but rejected Jesus. Friends, knowledge without action is dead. You know, we in South Africa, after 94, if you were a white South African in his 60s, you were actually good for nothing anymore. You had no, you can have 20 degrees and you still can live in a squatter camp. And it's a fact what I'm saying. Is in other words, you can have 10 degrees and still not be able to earn an income. And it's true. It's the same thing as this. You can have all the Bible knowledge and still have nothing. It's what do you do with it? Faith without works is dead. But works without faith is also useless. You have to have both. You have to do that together. If you read 2 Peter 2, it talks about knowledge, about this, about that, about the whole things. It's a package deal that you get together. You can't do it. I mean, you can't have knowledge without love. It's impossible. Opened eyes through faith. He healed the man who obeyed, testified, believed, and worked. And worshipped. And you know, that's amazing. The man stood up. When he was in front of the church leaders, what did he do? He confronted them. He says, oh, you want to know the story more? I've told you already. Or do you want to also become his disciples? And then they started shouting and scolding him and saying, and eventually they asked him, who do you think he is? He says, this guy must come from God. He cannot be somebody else. And what did they do? They threw him out of the church. The question is, am I blind or do I see? So what is my response supposed to be? Can you say, you and me, all of us, can we say that once I was blind, now I can see? It's true. It is true. Because the moment that you met Jesus, he opened the door for you to see. But there is still, not everything is so kosher yet. We still all have got some things that needs to be removed. You know? Can you admit to your own blindness, whatever it is? You know, friends, I know what my faults are. And I think Stefanie also knows it. But she doesn't throw it to my head. She doesn't say, but yo, you little. You know, she's actually, mind you, after all those years married, she needs to get clever a little bit to live with me. But she asked me to do one thing. She asked me to do the same thing a second time, and then she never asked me again. But the job gets done. Do you know why? You know why? Because then she says, Lord, this bulb needs to be replaced. I've asked Gerrit twice. Don't you want to push him a little bit? And he does. He does. He does. He does. It works, friends. It works. Because, but you know what it does? There's no argument about it. And that's the nice thing. And that's what God loves it. God loves to do something to change. Because the Bible says, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. But who plays a role in the renewing of your mind? God does. So he uses Stefanie to get me right. But I've got bad news for Stefanie. He also uses me to get her right. And he does that for all of us, friends. He does it for all of us. Because there's not one of us that doesn't have a blind spot somewhere. Not one of us sees everything very clearly. You see? I jumped the gun. All you need to do is ask God. Pass the buck unto him. He likes if you pass the buck unto him. Communicate. It doesn't mean that you have to go wait for your prayer time and fall on your knees now and Lord, blah, 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 blah. No. If something happens now, you can ask him now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow morning or when it's church or when it's your official quiet time if you have one. It doesn't do that. You can ask him right now, right at this moment. And what does he do? He may not respond right at this moment, but he can give you the peace that passes all understanding. Will you accept what Jesus did for the blind man, he can do for you? Friends, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you say no to that, then you have a big problem. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you also accept the fact that everything that Jesus did, and I mean everything that he did, is for you, is for me, is for us. Everything. I can have everything he wants for me. What does Jesus say in John 15, 16, 17? He says, ask me anything and I'll give it to you. Just don't ask him for a Ferrari because I won't get it. You know the story now by now about the Ferrari. Friends, he knows what I need before I ask him. But part of asking is communicating. Parents like children to ask. Not to demand, to ask. It's like that. Depends on what you want to do. Depends on how you approach it. Depends on, I mean, if I go to Stefanie and say, hey, where's my dinner tonight? I will have a problem, friends. No, it's true. The dinner will appear, but it won't taste so nice. And she didn't put strychnine into it. Don't worry about that side of it. But it won't taste so nice because the food that she put on the table wasn't done with love. And God wants to give us everything we want with love because that's what it is. And then worship him for what you're doing. And I want to finish off with the whale story. What did that whale do? It's amazing. What did that whale do? After he was freed, after he saw, after he came free totally, he went to his rescuers and acknowledged them. And what do we have to do? When we are freed of something, we have to go and acknowledge it. Lord, I thank you. thank you for what you've done. I bless you. I worship you. I praise your holy name for what you've done. And tomorrow morning there's something else, because there may be another whale, or there may be a dolphin, or there may be, I don't know, whatever. But all of us, friends, all of us at some stage are whales in a net. All of us are like that. And it depends on how we react and what we do with it. My question to you is, are you ready to do something about it? Remember, it's easy to say yes now. Watch it. Tomorrow morning is Monday. And Monday sometimes is blue. And it depends on what you're going to do with it when the Monday is blue. It's true. The net is around the corner. I mean, we see this daily. The nets are there and you get caught anytime, any moment. But if you walk in the Spirit, if you allow God to talk, work with you, if you allow, trust God, that net will stay at a distance and you will have safe passage as you go along. Does it mean that you can never get caught? No, it doesn't mean, because the Bible is clear. In this life, you will have tribulation. In this life, you will have suffering. In this life, you will have ups and downs. I mean, if we share our story, our financial story, how God has taken us through all that. A quick one. It was the 31st of December, 19-something. We had about 50 people working in the companies, and there was no money in the bank to pay their salaries. There was supposed to be a check coming in to take care of that. And we prayed, the check came. Now, the bank closes at 3:30. We asked, Lord, please keep the bank open. The bank opened for us till 4:00, and we were able to pay everybody's salaries. That's how God works, guys. We can trust Him with a check. We can trust Him with that. And I'm challenging that today. You trust God with what your need is and what you have to do. You trust Him. If you are tied into the net, trust Him to get you out of the net. Trust Him to send somebody on the way to you. But trust Him. And what's the other one? Obey. You trust Him and you obey then what He does tell you to do. Heavenly Father, I'm amazed. I'm in awe of You this morning. I'm in awe of what You're doing and what You've done, and You've proved it over and over again. Father, the songs that we sang this morning, everything worked towards the point where You're speaking to us, where You work it through the whale story, where You work it through the praise and worship, where You work it through the message. Father, that we take the message, that we will apply it in our lives in a way that it's brand new as at this moment. That it speaks to each one of us what each one of us needs. Father, and there's not one of us here that don't need Your intervention, Your hand, everything that You have for us. Father, all I can do this morning is to praise You and worship You and bring to You the glory and the honor and the praise and the worship and the adoration that You are worthy of. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, Father. And as they sang, as we sang this morning, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And it's You, Father. We honor You and we bring to You the glory. Father, I pray for each one that is here this morning. Father, You know each one individually very well, because at the end You created them. You knew them before the foundation of the world. Father, and I pray that You will guide them, that You will show them what needs to be done, that You will give them the wisdom and the insight to get closer to You, that You will give them the courage to allow the nets to be taken away, if there are nets, but that they will look at you and that they will acknowledge that it came from you. Your goodness goes beyond our comprehension. And all you expect from us is to accept it. Father, as your word says, ask and I will give it to you. Father, I accept that. But it's something that each one of us has to say for himself. I accept what you have in store for me. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for that. I can pray now that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, that enfolds each and every one that is sitting here, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will go with each and every one. And Father, I pray this in the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.